Father, I'd like to thank you for this time that I have with these people, these brothers and sisters in Christ. I give you honor and glory, and I ask that you use this vessel here now before you, because without you I can do nothing. In Jesus' name. Just a couple quick notes. Don't forget that we have Rosh Hashanah coming up, the Jewish New Year. That's on the 28th of this month. On the 7th is the Day of Atonement, the 7th of October. And, of course, the Feast of Tabernacles is the 12th through the 19th. And make note that on the 15th, there will be no 11 a.m. service because we have an ordination service that starts at 2 p.m. So if you could make notes of those things, that would be fantastic. I'm going to start today out. It's going to be a little bit different. I know it was different for me every half hour last night, waking up, and the Lord's giving me a little bit of peace here, a little bit of peace there. And it's wonderful he doesn't need sleep. But then finally at around 4:30, the last time I woke up, I'm like, you know, Lord, I know service is coming soon. You're going to get some rest. Great. Next thing I know, Mary's getting up, and she's poking around at 7 o'clock, and now I'm wide awake, and I'm like, my alarm clock. Got to love her. Doesn't need batteries. Don't have to wind her up. So I'm going to start out because the Lord told me to tell three stories, and I know I've probably told at least one of them before. I'm going to abbreviate them, just get right to the line, because he says that either somebody in the house or on the internet will need something from each of these stories. And one of them is, well, actually, the whole thing just basically involves the awesomeness of our Father. And it's three people that are on TV. Two of them, I do not remember who they are. The last one I do, I'll give the name then. But the first story was a gentleman who was pondering the full counsel of God. And he had come across this at one time, just, you know, the full counsel of God. You know, we all hear about it. We've heard it preached, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. We'll get to know the full counsel of God. Well, he sat here and he started pondering on it to the point, he said, to where it was really starting to, he really had a desire to know the full counsel of God. Well, he finally made sure he had a break in his schedule so he could just take a vacation for a week or two, whatever it was. And he went to a beach. Where, I don't know. I just know it was a beach, and it was by an ocean, one of the oceans. Where he got up early one morning, and he went for a walk along the beach. And, of course, instead of relaxing and just enjoying the morning, what's he doing? He's pondering the full counsel of God, because it's just eating at this gentleman. And as he's walking on the beach, he sees some people up in like a little beach house looking out over the beach, and there's a 6 to 8 year old boy down there playing on the beach. So, you know, he's looking with them. But interesting enough, the kid is running from the ocean. He grabs a bucket of water, he runs back up, and he pours it on the beach. And as he got closer, he saw it was a hole that the kid had dug with his little shovel, and he's pouring, running, and he looks, and of course the water in the sand, he runs back to the ocean. And he just chuckled, and he thought it was kind of cute. And he said to the young man, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm going to get all that water over there. I'm going to put it in this hole. And he said, you are, huh? How long have you been doing? Oh, a little while. I'll get there. And he keeps on grabbing and doing it. And he says, son, you're not going to be able to get all that water in there. Well, why not? Well, look at the size of that ocean. You know how big of an area that takes? And besides that, if you look, you pour it in, what's it doing? It just goes right away. A, the hole's too small, and B, the sand doesn't hold water. It just, it's going right back over there. And the kid just scratched his head, and he said, well, have a good time. He started walking, and he started pondering the full counsel of God again. He said he took about 5 to 6 steps when the kid stopped and said, and nor shall you understand the full counsel of God for the same purposes, for your brain is too small to hold it. And he turned around, and the kid was gone. Talk about a wake-up call on vacation. So I don't know who that was for, but enjoy. The next one, it was another evangelist or pastor. He was touring the U.S. He had a schedule, and he was on a bus. And he had said they came into, they were out in the Midwest someplace, and they came into like a truck stop, where's a dinette and all that. He got out, had dinner and whatnot, and he starts walking. And he's just praising God and taking glory and stretching his legs, as he said, when the phone booth starts to ring. And he's looking over at the phone booth. There's nobody around. And he's like, wow, you know, and the Lord said, answer it. He's like, come on, Lord, who out here? I'm going to answer this. It's going to be for, you know, whoever. And Lord says, just answer the phone for me, please. The gentleman said he went over, he picked it up, goes, hello. And the person on the other end goes, brother so-and-so? Yes. Oh, thank God. I thought it was just a general number to your ministry. I've been needing to get a hold of you because I have some questions dealing with your book. This lady had called him, thought it was his number. She got that phone booth at that truck stop. Now, you tell me if that wasn't God ordained. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, God will see to it that the answers are going to be there, no matter what extreme he has to get it for you. The third one, I heard, I believe it was, I'm not even going to give the name. I'm not going to give the name. Gentleman woke up about 3 a.m. And when he woke up, the Lord said to him, I need you to get up and pack. You're going to Israel this morning. The guy goes, I'm going where? You're going to Israel. Get a hold of the travel agent. No matter what the cost, you're going to Israel. Land at the airport. From there, I'll give you instructions to where you're to go. And he said, okay, fine. What are we doing? He said, well, I have a daughter over there who needs someone to talk to her and give her some advice. So now this guy's sitting here, Lord, if she needs advice, I'm sure you have vessels right there in Israel. By the time I get there, it's going to be, what, tomorrow or the day after their time. And if it's that important that she needs the information, wouldn't it just be cheaper for you to send someone that's right there? The Lord sat there and said, it's my money. I'll do what I want with it. Besides that, I can afford it. Get ready to go. Lord, if it's that much of an emergency, then the Lord told him, hold it right there. Let me ask you something. If your daughter was halfway around the world and would only listen to one person right now and would only listen to that person only, what would you do? He said, okay, I'm packing. I'm off. She respected that person enough that's the only person that she would hear from. And he went all the way to Israel to deliver a message from the Lord to get back on the plane and go back home the next day. So whoever those three stories was for, enjoy them and go with it. Because we have the feast coming up, I have a few things I'm just going to bring out. This is not going to be, well, I guess you've already figured out, it's not going to be a normal service. The moving of the Spirit today has been very interesting. I've quite enjoyed what had happened. Anybody here can say that they did not enjoy this morning so far? Very good. We have a few things to dispense. The Lord has been dealing with me. Last Tuesday I was supposed to bring something to the service then. When I got up that Tuesday morning, the Lord said, no, we're changing it up, which we did. So today we weren't sure if Pastor Kim was going to be delivering or not, so I kept on going in the direction I was in before in case he was not here because, as you know, he went up north. I called him, and he was en route last night, heading home. He says, no, he's going to be here. I talked to him and said, well, he's there. I'm not presenting. And they're okay. Then I'll just take the liberty and tell everyone we're taking tomorrow off. He said, oh, you can't do that. I said, well, you did. Just because it was a hurricane, you called it off? I mean, come on. So we had a wonderful time on the phone. And when we got off the phone, what was it, about 7:30, 8 o'clock-ish at night, I said, okay. I told my wife, I said, I'm going upstairs. I got some reading to do, and I'm going to continue on where I'd left off again to get up there. And I started reading through the notes. I started looking at my stuff, and the Lord's like, no. And I'm like, Lord, what then? We're just going to go in a different direction. And finally, at about 3 a.m., it basically came down to this. He says, I want you to just give them a few simple things, to dispense with a few myths. Some will agree with you, some will not. That's okay. We are getting ready to enter into Tabernacles. And for some reason, I do not understand fully, but not just here, but listening to people online, this Tabernacle seems to be gearing up for something. And when I am in prayer, talking with the Lord, that's a question I was going to ask. What is prayer? And a lot of people have a million different answers to what prayer is. But in a nutshell, right now I am praying to you. I'm talking to you. Prayer is nothing more than talking to God. You know, a lot of people think you have to get down and be all holy about it. Nah, God just wants you. Just talk to him like you would talk to anybody else. Because he's going to answer you like he'd answer anybody else. So in the prayer time, and when I'm talking, twice I've gotten this in the last couple weeks. Come expecting to these fall feasts. You have to come expecting. Be ready. Because if you come expecting nothing, just going to be the same old deal, guess what? That's just what you're going to get. The same old deal. So we have to come expecting something great from the Lord. I don't have a clue as to what it is. We might not even notice it, but it will be imparted into us. I know that. It's going to be there, and it will manifest in its time. So now we'll touch on another slightly crazy subject, as I like to call it. Never causes controversy. We know that there's two words in the Bible for sin. One is sin. The Old Testament used to say unclean. Now, they were very emphatic in the Old Testament about what makes you unclean, what makes you clean. We've all heard it in the services from Pastor Kim. You know, I mean, they would have to, what, wash before they ate. They go to the marketplace, they'd have to wash. They'd have to wash various implements and things of that nature, bowls, kettles, and whatnot. And what they didn't realize is that by washing out the pots, what are they washing out? They're washing out the inside of that which prepares what's going to be consumed. Oh, thank you. That's a cutie. I love it when I get a revelation right in the middle of something. So it was a symbolism of them washing out their insides so that when they spewed forth what comes out of their mouth, it would come out clean. Because what did Jesus say when he was questioned about his disciples eating without washing? How come you go against the traditions of the fathers? You know, basically, look, you didn't wash your hands. You know, Pharisees sound like my grandmother. You didn't wash your hands before you ate. And what did Jesus say? It's not what goes into a man that makes him unclean, but what comes out. Because what comes out of your mouth through that little tongue comes out from your heart. And that's what needs to be clean. So when I'm in certain company and I hear, well, you know, it's Friday, why did you have some steak? I was hungry. You know, I was hungry. You know, and that's what was on the table. Thank you very much. There is some people that I know that would not partake of our communion because we use real wine. Because to them, that's a sin to take that. Do I say anything bad against them? No. It's what they believe. But that is not going to make you unclean. Sit here and pass judgment on someone through your mouth. That will make you unclean. Racial remarks, all these things, all the hatred comes from here and spews out through the one area that we really wish would not. Amen. You know, it just, and it happened on the way in here. My God, Mary and I had such a wonderful time in the Lord. I was repenting almost all the way back, all the way here. Nothing better than to grab your hot cup of coffee and have the top fly off. Spill all over the vehicle. You put it down. Of course, that's the bumpiest part of the road. Reaching down to find the lid. Here, Mary, clean this off. And she's looking at me. It's like having to put my hand over the top because now I'm burning my hand to keep it from spilling. And it's like, would you clean that? Wonderful. We had an interesting time. And she goes, I don't appreciate those words. Okay. Do you think I appreciated her words at that point? No. I know none of you are, you know, as fleshy as I am when I'm caught off guard. But in past, I think I regrouped fairly quickly. It only took, what, 10 minutes instead of a half hour? Not even 10? Oh, okay, we're getting better.
9 and a half. No,
just kidding. There we go. Not that she was checking or anything, right?
It's better.
No, it wasn't even close to 10.
But point is, we all get caught off guard, and that's it. That little rudder gets going because the flesh is used to being in control, not the spirit. Now, we've covered quite a few little things, and now here's the big tidbit. Like he said, and I asked, Revelation seems to be the predominant thing. I was really impressed to really bring this forward, and it's not written in stone, obviously. But in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 is very, very strong to me because it kind of gives away everything that we really need to be concerned about dealing with the book of Revelation. And that's the thing, too. I guess, you know, everyone has a pet peeve. One of the things that really gets under my skin is when something is mislabeled, even if I mislabel it. It's the book of Revelation, not Revelations. It's one revelation. Just like some of you don't know this, but I lived in Greece for 2 years, northern Greece, outside of the city of Thessaloniki, which the book of Thessalonians, that was the city. I've been to the ruins where Paul and Silas were in jail. And all this time, when I was over there, I was not born again. I had no desire to be with God. I was 18, 19 years old, United States military, smoking, drinking, and having a wonderful time for myself at the government's expense. And by the way, thank you all for that. I appreciate your tax money going to work for me. But even in that space, I was getting an education in the gospel. I just didn't know it then. And you want to talk about a physically fit? I didn't have this gut back then because I was running for everyone that said Jesus. And over there, it seemed like everyone I was running into was saying Jesus. I get up to the ruins of this little town. And my buddy and I, we walk over. We had gone up near to the town of Drama. Was one of our outlying locations, real close to the, I believe it's the Bulgarian border, don't quote me on that. And as the name implies, that's what they say where the birthplace of modern theater was in the village of Drama. Beautiful little place. But there was this farmer that was out plowing his field, and of course there was this huge brick deal in the middle of his field. It turned out to be a Roman aquifer. But underneath all the stuff, there was a city. So, as usual, in Greece, normally when they come across something like that, farmer has lost his field because now it's an archaeological dig. And, we came across this area, and this gentleman comes up and said, that was the prison. And I said, the prison? Yeah. Look, they all would sit in here. And he said, one day there was a great earthquake when two men of the Bible were in here, and it shook the foundations of this prison. And I turned my buddy, he says, every place we go in this country, they should all be like evangelists. That wasn't true. But there was just sent ones. The apostles that were sent by God. This guy just gave us the whole spiel, whether we liked it or not, because we were trying to move away. I've got pictures, I'll show it to you sometime, if I remember to bring them in. When I came back to the United States, that's when I actually found Christ. But then I started reading this book, New Testament. And I'm sitting there and I'm reading about Paul and Silas. I went, I was there. And I heard real soft, no kidding. So was I. Read more and learn. So the education was there. But that's kind of a little bit off subject. I want to get back to Revelation. See, I was getting Revelation back then. I didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. And this book of Revelation has been misquoted. It is not what I believe, so many years for it to be. As I guess the best way is the way Van put it. It's a love letter from Jesus to us. Amen. And the first line is what says it all. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants. His servants. We've always been told that it is to show the world Jesus and the power and why you should have him. The world does not care about Jesus. And you all look at me like, huh? His servants care about him and want to know more about him. The world sees him through us. They are not searching out the true revelation. They watch us and see if we are true. So anyways, to show his servants what must soon take place. Okay. Also, this is the only book that just says it right out. Blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it. Now, the other thing the Lord gave me was this. It is advisable to start at chapter 2 and read everything dealing with the churches very, very slowly. And remember what the words are towards the end. He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit, not the man, the Spirit says to the churches. Remember that the book is a book, is a spiritual book, as is the whole Bible. But this one, especially, remember, Jesus spoke to everyone in what?
Parables.
Parables. What's the biggest parable in the book? Revelation. To say again, and I'm just giving this as a tidbit, everything in here is to make the bride 100% spotless and wrinkle-free, so that we are ready for him as the bride that is to be. That's what this book is about. If you read what happens to each of the churches, each one has a quote-unquote problem, which seems to coincide with major problems that we have in our flesh. And there's a promise for each church. There's also a not-so-good promise if they continue. But it's advisable just to read it through slowly, because we can read over something and just, you know, you read it, you have a favorite scripture, you know, and you just read it over and over and over. But if you sit down with it, no matter how many times you've read it, and take it really slow, say it out loud to yourself over, slowly, as if it's the first time, bam, look out. And that happened to me today. Right here, as a matter of fact, the Lord had me open it up. And it's chapter 1, verse 8. In the red, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now in black, says the Lord God, now in red, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That just jumped right on out as if it was coming up and slapping me in the face and saying, here I am, stupid. That's how I get sometimes when I read the word and it jumps out. You know, I've read that I don't know how many times. How many times have we quoted, I am the Alpha and the Omega? But remember what Jesus said to the people in the Gospels? I say nothing except what I hear from the Father. Now, we say all the words in red is Jesus. Yes, but moreover, it's coming from Papa. Papa is talking here through Jesus. I know it sounds so rudimentary, but it's 100% truth. Poor Mary went nuts. She was working in a drugstore when we were dating, and I'm sitting down. I went in there to get my favorite chocolate drink, which was a Yoo-hoo, and I had peanut butter Twix with them. She remembers those days. And I don't know if it was close to, I don't remember what time it was of the day, but I recall sitting there and I had a few minutes to kill, so I opened up my little Bible that I had. They had a place to sit where a few Paul Fanef would sit every now and then to talk with other people in there. And I opened it up to the to John 1:1, Gospel of John, and I read that. And do you know what kind of a scene is made in a drugstore when something comes into you and it becomes real to you? Mm. Oh, my God. Poor Mary. Mary, look at this. And she's like, fortunately, there really wasn't any major customers in there at the time, but, and the owner, John, really, actually, John's father was still alive then. They really put up with me. They did. But she's looking at, yeah, so, and I'm there, you can't see this. It's plain as day. You know, that's when I had the relationship of Jesus being the Word, and the Word coming in and being flesh. Now, that was back in 1983. Because I was not born again until latter part of February 1983. And so it wasn't too long after that, that little revelation hit me. But it came from reading the Word slowly. My God, I just thought I was it too. You know what that's like. Every one of us can remember that first time that a piece of the Word jumped up. Man, we were ready for the road. We had something no one else had. And what we had was really something. And there are times that I wish I didn't have it. Because there's things that we learned back then. Oh, my God. I was in with Kim, Mary, back at the Children of Light. Have some fond memories of those days. And I'm trying to forget some of them, too. But this time frame that we are in is extremely important for all of us as a church, but also individually. I don't normally get too pushy in an area. I do not know why it's so important that we read through these slowly. And it's a start. The Lord impresses me that this is the start. I believe you brought forth the finished product. Was it you? I said, it's done. And I'm like, tilt? Why are you telling me it's a start? You're having her say it's finished. But I think I know why.
No, he said it's not the end, it's the beginning.
Beginning. But someone had said something about, I was looking up here when they said it, we are the spotless bride now. Yeah. Oh. Someone said that. And I don't remember who it was.
Previous word, right?
The bride has been prepared. She is ready.
She is ready, yeah. So, now I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, I'm questioning, what, you want me to bring this? And it's just the beginning? And then she's saying that the bride is already ready. Well, this is the beginning of preparation. But God, as I said to Bob last week, God sees us where we're at, but he sees us at the end at the same exact time. So we are not to walk in who we are today, but how God sees us. Remember, what comes out of your mouth creates what you'll be tomorrow. That, okay, I can bring that forward. There was a gentleman that was on TV, and I actually did, I love looking things up on the internet. God's given me so much free time. I just love it. Praise you, Jesus. Every language in the world we know is a form of communication. But as this one person brought forward, and when I looked it up, it seems to be truth. They made a program on a computer that when you speak words, it makes little designs. Well, every language in the world makes cute little designs or whatever when you speak a word into it, except for one. The ancient language of the Hebrews, when you said flower, a flower came up on the screen. When you say rose, a rose came up on the screen. Rock, rock. Sand, cow, cow. And if you specified what kind of cow in the original Hebrew, that's what appeared on the screen. original Hebrew is a language that creates. No other language does. So when they say that what you speak is what you're going to be, believe it. Believe it. Especially if you speak in the original Hebrew. There was a, I'm trying to think, there was something else I wanted to bring forward, and it was just there a second ago. It'll be back. I love a civvy mind sometimes.
Well, let me give you what came into my heart while you were speaking. Because the Holy Spirit, you know how God does things and he coordinates us when we least expect it. And in Isaiah chapter 4, there's an incredible scripture that talks about, in verse 2, in that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. And I always wonder what God's going to do with all the churches. And you're talking about the seven churches, correct? Look at verse 1. The day of the Lord. In that day, because that's what he's speaking about. He's talking about the kingdom. In that day, seven women, that's seven churches, that takes care of all the denominational churches, will take hold of one man. Guess what his name is? They'll realize what they've done and say, we will eat our own food and provide our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our disgrace.
Mary, could you open your Bible up to Isaiah 13, please, and bring it here, because I need the New American Translation.
Good. I was going to say, there was the other one. Isn't there, so.
No, she's got
all
four.
You know, there's a lot of times God 13. Will speak.
Somebody else had brought something forth, too, earlier today about their mighty ones or their enduring ones. Oh, yes, the enduring ones. Thank you. I'll find it. This was struck me because somebody gave it to me not too long ago. Yeah, that's in the right one. Yes. Isaiah chapter 13. I just wanted to read this out because it is so awesome. It just struck me. And I'm going to just read the first three verses. That'll do it. And I'm reading from the New American Standard, the oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. Lift up a standard on the bare hill. Raise your voice to them. Wave the hand, that they may not enter the doors of the nobles. I have commanded my consecrated ones. I have even called my mighty warriors, my proudly exulting ones, to execute my anger. New American Standard. You are a consecrated one. You are a mighty warrior in him.
Amen.
Alone, you're in trouble.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord God. Again, I cannot overemphasize again, come expecting. Expecting. And I would even fair to say that after, from this day forward, you can meet, come expecting. You should be coming expecting even when you're amongst your peers, when you're working, because the minute someone asks you anything or you share a testimony, you are now there because he is with you. He is in you. He is with you. There is no longer any excuses. The second you open your mouth, there it is. What's the difference between you and I, you and the pastor? The difference is, right now, I'm up here speaking. When you're out in public, you're up here speaking.
Amen.
You may not be behind a pulpit in front of the church going, oh my God, I can't do that. You do it every day.
second you walk out that door and say, hey, how you doing? You're doing it. And the second you witness, you're at the pulpit.
So if you're ever asked, don't say, I can't, because you do it every day, whether you're preaching the gospel or preaching flesh. You're doing it every single day. Father, I thank you for this time, for this productive time, obviously, and I ask that we go forward in your name and that we still walk in your will, and give us more revelation as to who we are in you and the ability through you to walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All I know is...